The question is about how we cultivate love, if love is the answer, and how do we cultivate more love or get more love in our life?
You can't. What you do is remove the obstacles to love, because love is the essence of that which you are. We saw this morning, war is not the opposite of peace. Peace is the natural condition when falsehood is removed. So lovingness is the automatic condition when the obstructions to it, which are false and fallacious, are removed. So lovingness becomes a way of being. So love is not an emotion. It goes from here to there. You can't lose love. Somebody can't run off with love.
Can science ever evolve beyond the 499 level?
No.
Never can.
Okay. No, quantum mechanics was a hope. Quantum mechanics, unfortunately, calibrates about 466, 465. If you could get there with science, Einstein calibrated at 499. You see, after the Copenhagen Conference in 1927, where quantum mechanics was discussed, and all the greats, Bohr and Bohm and Heisenberg and all were there, you know, Dirac, all the great names in advanced theoretical physics. So Einstein's response to the Heisenberg principle, you know, the Heisenberg principle is, once your consciousness focuses on something, you've already changed it. You've collapsed the wave function of the potential energy field. So Einstein said he didn't want consciousness to come into what he hoped would be an independent, objective, definable, provable, external, objective universe independent of human consciousness. So Einstein said, I prefer to believe that there is an independent, out there, objective universe independent of man's consciousness. And therefore, he set him down, 499, cut himself off. Bohm, on the other hand, who calibrates over 500, talked about the whatchamacallit and the whatchamacallit, in other words, the enfolded and the unfolded, right? So he calibrates over 500, and Freud also. Freud was correct when he said the gods of old, the vicious, angry god who's going to get even with you for sin and has his favorites and all. He says, all BS coming out of the unconscious, the child's fear of the big great parent out there. And so what Freud said was correct. The false gods are false. But then he made the illogical jump. That if the false gods are false, therefore there isn't a true one. He didn't prove there wasn't a true one. He just proved that the false gods are false, which was already in advance, because it took him to 499, which is, 499 is pretty good. Einstein and Newton and Freud. I'm not coughing at 499. That's pretty advanced. But it is not the realm of 500. Because at 500, you have to move to the subjective. There's a trend in psychiatry now, which I support. I just wrote a foreword for a book by psychiatrists who are starting to talk about subjectivity. The psychiatry is not looking at subjectivity, and where we all live is in the subjective. We use objective terminology, but we all live in the here and the now of the subjective. It's the undefinable, subtle quality of all experience. That's where we're experiencing all the time. And the out-there-ness of what we think is causing it is really irrelevant. Where we live is, from moment to moment, is in the subjective. All of your life is lived in the subjective. You never live it in the objective. Because even if you look at the objective, you're only doing it from the experiential quality of the subjective. So the scientist who says only a verifiable objective reality is real, that's a very subjective statement. He's already concluding that that his subjective truth about that is what's true. That's a very subjective and very egoistic kind of a view of it. That only your view of it is what is. You're sorry you asked that one, aren't you?